Welcome to the Legends Among Us podcast, a show devoted to the troopers and veterans of 3rd Cavalry Regiment. I am very excited to have a group of troopers with us this week. We have all, and correct me if I'm wrong, but all of the paralegals from the regimental JAG office. Am I missing anybody?
No, that's correct, sir.
Okay, awesome. Well, hey, can you all introduce yourselves for our listeners?
I guess I'll start off. Specialist Valencia, I'm currently the paralegal for Steel Squadron and Thunder Squadron.
Sergeant Barra, I'm paralegal for Saber Squadron.
I'm Sergeant Rodriguez. I currently cover down for Mule Skinner and Tiger Squadrons.
And I'm Sergeant Tamai, I'm the senior paralegal for the regiment.
Outstanding. Well, hey, thank you all for coming on to the show. We have a pretty diverse listening audience. We're actually trying to grow the audience. But the reason I brought you all on is for some comic relief. I'm kidding. Really, I brought you all on just to kind of talk a little bit through what you do, what your experience has been like specifically as paralegals within 3rd Cavalry Regiment, and then just anything else that kind of pops up over the course of our conversation. So, out of all of you, I know some of you have spent more time in the Army than others, but have any of you come here as your first assignment?
Yes, this is my first assignment, sir.
Okay, but the rest of you then have all come from previous assignments, is that correct?
Correct, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
And were all of you in Korea?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Could each of you just talk, maybe in 30 seconds or less, how you ended up as a paralegal in the United States Army?
I'm going to try to make a long story super short. I tried to join the Army at 17. I was going to be a 42 Alpha, so S1. Got disqualified at MEPS for like my eyesight. Tried again 3 years later. Was going to be a 91 Bravo. And then the day of MEPS, I asked the lady at the desk, is there any paralegal slots? She said there was one. And so I just took it. And yeah, I'm here.
Here you are. And as I've asked other troopers in the past, the last month, did you have any say in coming here, or were they just like, we need a paralegal at 3CR?
Yeah, I just got orders for Cavazos. I thought, because I had volunteered to go airborne, so I thought I was headed to Bragg. And then in my last week of AIT, they told me, I'm sorry, you're not going airborne anymore. You're going to Cavazos. Broke my heart, but I've enjoyed my time here, so it really wasn't that bad.
Good. Well, I appreciate your honesty. It's okay that your heart was broken.
Yeah.
Okay. Vera, how did you end up in this position?
So I tried to join something like related to math degree, because I have a degree in psychology. But they told me to be a combat medic, and I didn't want that. So I was like, okay, I'll just do something in my computer. So I went for paralegal, and thank God I did.
Were all of you like looking at potential 42 series before you ended up as paralegals? Or I don't fully understand the path to becoming a paralegal in the Army, so, but it sounds like for the two of you it was.
Yeah, that was actually my first choice, was 42 Alpha, because at least for me, I wanted an office job, and I wasn't able to keep that 42 Alpha, and then 27 Delta was my second choice, and then thankfully I was able to get as a paralegal.
And so, Sergeant Tamai, since you kind of spoke up, how did you end up at 3CR? You've probably had the most experience out of everyone here. So you've had a pretty rich, diverse experience with regards to assignments. How did you end up at 3CR?
So for us, as a sergeant first class, as a 27 Delta, we're managed by a master sergeant. So that person will pick our assignment. And it was either Germany or Fort Hood. And because I had so much Okonis assignments, it happened to be Fort Hood. But my orders was actually supposed to be the MI Brigade. And then for whatever reason, something happened where they ended up moving to 3CR. So I didn't really have a choice, and it was 3CR, sir.
Okay, so I'm hearing not a choice from a few of you. We'll circle back to that. How about you, Sergeant Rodriguez?
So for me, sir, when I joined the Army, I kind of knew that if I was going to enlist in the Army, I wanted to be a 27 Delta. And I also did look at human resources, but ultimately, in another life, my goal was kind of to become a lawyer. I no longer want to become a lawyer. Okay. I feel like they work too much. But I ended up enlisting as a 27 Delta. I got the MOS I wanted. And I was stationed at Fort Drum as my first duty station. For that one, I did not have a choice. I kind of just got it. The Army sent me there. I got there. For Fort Hood, I actually re-enlisted to PCS to Fort Hood. Okay. I'm from Houston, Texas, so for me, it's like close to home.
Got it. And I've noticed with people that I've talked to here is that either they're from this area or they're from Texas or they have family here. That was actually the reason why I put 3CR on my list is because I have family down in San Antonio and up in Dallas. So it's worked out that way pretty well. All of you have been here for about a year now, at least, correct? I know some of you have been here longer, but at least a year for most of you?
Correct, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. 2 years. 2 years? So how much more time do you have here then?
I'm actually PCSing to Vilsack, Germany in this upcoming October.
You probably told me that at one point. Yeah. Because I feel like that's information you shared before.
Ironically, I'm going to 2CR.
I can't remember, Sir Ron. Have you done like the enculturation within the CAV community?
I have, sir. I did my spur ride. I think we all did our spur ride together in Korea.
Oh, nice.
During the 3CR birthday week.
Okay, so you're not going to have to do that again.
Yes, thankfully, no. I get to take my spur certificate and my spurs with me.
Awesome. That's great to hear. Clearly, it hasn't been like the assignment of choice for some of you, if not all of you, but how has your perception of this place changed over the last year? And hopefully it's changed in a positive way.
I'll say I didn't hear many good things about the regiment, so I was like kind of down. I really did not want to be at Fort Hood in the first place, so it didn't make me feel good. But once I got to the unit, once I got to meet all my commanders, like the command teams, and they kind of like took me and embraced me, it like changed my mind real fast. And then I was like, you know what? I do want to do a spur ride. I do want to get my stats in. And then I was like proud to wear the bug on my shoulder. So once I got to meet people, it really quickly changed my perception of the regiment.
That's good to hear. I totally agree with you. It's the people. Like, the people are the motivating factor to do anything in this organization. And really, the people are the motivating factor to do anything of worth in any organization. But I'm glad to hear that you were particularly drawn to the culture here and the people helped the fellow troopers and the leadership kind of spurred that on within you. So what about the rest of you? Any other thoughts? Any changes in how you've perceived this organization since you've been here?
I will say when I first found out that I was coming to 3CR, the first thing you think of is like, oh, Vanessa Guillen.
Right.
And the fact that we work in the legal office, it's kind of scary because that pretty much means you're going to be busy like 24/7. I will say in that aspect, 3CR definitely lived to its name.
Okay.
We are a pretty heavy jurisdiction. I feel like we're constantly pushing actions and constantly receiving new actions. But like Specialist Valencia said, I think it's definitely about the team that you work with. And I feel like we have a really good team right now. So
I do.
I feel like morale is pretty high, even though we have a lot of actions, because of the team cohesion. It's not crappy coming into work every day.
I'm always encouraged to come see you guys and visit you in the office. And it's not just because you're virtually co-located with where I'm at, but I think that is an important point to make, Sergeant Rodriguez, is that it is possible for everybody at every echelon of leadership within this organization to change the culture that has existed here for quite some time. Because as I was discussing with someone else on a different interview, that at one point in time, like 3CR was an elite CAV unit. It really was. When you think about different tiered organizations with regards to the CAV community, this is a pretty elite unit that people wanted to come to. So whenever the bug patch like went around the world, people would recognize it and point out those people and be like, oh, you're from 3CR. So there is some prestige that exists here. It's just a matter of us trying to find it once again and to kind of polish it off a little bit and then project it to the rest of the Army. And I do believe that even though you all see some pretty crazy things coming through your office, and I've certainly sat down with some of the attorneys as they've actioned UCMJ matters with our two RCOs, that there are still good things that are happening here. In terms of like your guys' shop itself, you get along really well. What else is kind of unique about your culture, the culture that you're in, for those who might be listening who perhaps are even considering becoming paralegals themselves? What would be the motivator or the incentive to be a paralegal?
we don't do staff duty or CQ.
Oh.
That's my personal favorite.
I don't know if too many people know that. Why is that? I don't even know if I knew that, honestly.
So, yeah, there's actually, I think it's Army Regulation 2710, if I'm not wrong.
It's AR 27-1, where it specifically states that, well, it states that paralegals and judge advocates, it says, should not perform staff duty or extra duty only because of potential conflict of interest. But we also had, I don't know if it changed, but we had a Fort Hood Regulation 2710 that states that we will not be pulling these extra duties like staff duties or CQ. And a lot of the commanders, or mostly first sergeants, they don't like hearing that because it makes it sound like we're making an excuse to get out of pulling certain duties or staff duties or whatnot.
You're kind of touching upon some of the nuances of being in special staff, because it's the same thing for chaplains as well. We can't act as like 15-6 investigators because there's a conflict of interest with regards to privileged communication. We don't do, for field grade officers, we don't do FOD. But we do have like funeral duties. We have on-call chaplain duties. So it's not like we're entirely exempt. And I'm sure that there are other things that you all have to deal with as well, that some of your peers outside of your MOS don't have to do, that you all have to do. But yeah, that's a good incentive to come into the JAG Corps as a paralegal. But what else? What other things exist within your shop or the culture that might be incentive reclass?
I think also it's a job that you can learn a lot, and like with redaction and your reading and everything. And also it's a job that you can apply to civilian work. So I think it's a good choice.
Have you all known paralegals who have kind of crossed over into the civilian workforce?
So some people don't know that the Army offers this program, FLEP, for 27 Deltas in that as well, and also to other MOSs where if they want to become an attorney, just submit your application for FLEP. A lot of judge advocates, when they get out, they just practice on the civilian side as an attorney. And so if you go to Thunder Gym and then you look at, I'm sorry, not Thunder Gym, but Starker Gym, you look at the sign on the door, or I'm sorry, on the wall, they have one of the attorneys that was like my previous trial counsel. So oh, wow. A lot of them will go into civilian practice to work in like a civilian defense counsel.
Well, that's good. More incentive, obviously, that probably a lot of people didn't necessarily know about. I don't want to dwell on this, but clearly people can kind of peer down into your shop and know that you all are dealing with some pretty heavy issues within the regiment. A lot of UCMJ actions. I remember when Major Gallagher was here reading some of the files on some of our troopers and some of the infractions that had been committed. So you guys are exposed to that to various degrees every day. What kind of impact does that have on you as individuals, as troopers within this organization, but maybe just as human beings?
I'll say that it's sometimes you get a packet that's like pretty tough to handle. But at the end of the day, the most rewarding thing for me is I get to go to my barracks room and then I think I worked on this action and in some way, I made the Army just a little bit better. Or like, we can chapter the soldier out the Army, make the formation a little bit stronger, make the organization stronger. And it just feels nice to know that you're doing good.
Yes, like you're contributing to the greater mission of a larger organization, kind of thinking outside your own self to some degree. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, because also most of the people like to see us as the bad guys, because we just like, oh, we punish people, we get them out. But yeah, as the opposite, we are trying to help the Army and the organization to keep the best of the best.
I agree. And there are different ways in which we do that. Obviously, we have certain standards and discipline, but you all play a unique role in ensuring that we maintain proper standards within this organization. I know you all are special staff. You have connections to your next higher echelon of leadership at division. You frequently have training at division, because I always see the texts that you all are doing something with division, be it PT or some other training, where you guys will put signs up when you guys are out. What does training look like at that level? What does your day-to-day look like with regards to your interactions with division? And do you all have anything to do with Corps? Probably not so much, but no. Okay, but you are frequently going to division for different training events or staff syncs or whatever. What does that relationship look like?
So the JAG Corps is pretty small. We kind of all know each other, like, across the brigades. And like you mentioned, sir, we usually have, like, our monthly LPDs, mm-hmm. where usually the trainings can consist of, like, if there's been updates in Army regulations and Army processes, or, like, for example, right now, the beard controversy. That's been, like, a new thing that's came out recently. So they'll update us on, like, any changes, stuff like that. And then we also have, like, our yearly requirements of, like, professional responsibility training, whether it's something like that. And then sometimes it's just a JAG Corps getting to know the JAG Corps. So we'll celebrate the birthdays. We'll do, like, hells and farewells, pretty much just socializing within the other brigades and making sure we're having those communications within the division.
And maintaining professional development. And
yes.
Do you all ever feel like, because I know we feel like this as chaplains, it's almost like we operate in a bubble, except when we're needed. I try to break that perception as much as possible by integrating with the staff and visiting troopers on the line. And do you all feel like you are in a bubble sometimes as well? Or do you feel like you're pretty well integrated with the rest of the staff and with the organization as a whole?
To be honest, for the most part, we're kind of like stuck in our bubble, because for the most part, like, we're always like in our legal office just working, and then we're, like what Sergeant Ross said, like pushing out actions, because the workload it just never stops.
Yeah, it does not. I've seen the stack of folders. It doesn't go away. And do you guys feel that way as well? Like, there's just so much work to do that you really don't have an opportunity to get outside the four walls of your office.
Yeah, I can kind of agree with that statement. I feel like if we ever do... Because usually we work with the command teams, like the commanders, the first sergeants, our majors, squadron commanders. But a lot of the times, we don't really know, like, our counterparts, like our other E5s, E4s within, like, the squadron, because we don't really work with them. And, like, for example, for me, I went to the range, like, what, 2 weeks ago? Mm-hmm. And I saw this NCO that I've, like, never seen before in my life, because we're always at regiment. We're always working. We're just, like, constantly... I feel like it's because our mission is a little differently. We're constantly pushing legal actions that we're not really at the troop level. So they might not know who we are. They might not see us. So, yeah, sometimes it feels like our little bubble is, like, small and repetitive.
So a few of you are leaving this summer, sometime this fall. Can you explain to the listening audience, to our listeners, what is career progression look like for a paralegal, progression for a 27 series?
So typically for us, for E1s or E4, like, for career progression, is typically you're like a battalion or squadron paralegal. Like, you're assigned to a battalion or squadron, and that's like, you know, you do your legal actions within that. And then as an E5, E6, you're typically a brigade NCIC of a smaller, like, brigade, like your sustainment, your aviation, or Divardi. And then as an E7, like, for us, our KD time is like being a senior paralegal for like a BCT. That's considered our KD time. And I can see how stressful and it is, especially in a BCT where it's just like, again, it's just like the workload just keeps piling on. On top of that, you're just also managing like the junior paralegals, and you got like multiple attorneys that you got to report to.
What is the ideal career path for a paralegal? I know you've kind of described how it looks like generically, Sergeant Tamai, but when someone is pursuing a particular career path, what are they looking for in terms of broadening assignments, maybe types of commands that they want to be working or should be working for? I'm assuming you want to get some broadening experience. You don't want to just stay in force comm, but or TRADOC or...
For us, like, I mean, as far as like broadening, obviously you can be like, you know, you do your recruiting, your drill sergeant. You can also be an instructor at AIT or, you know, at the schoolhouse.
Okay. That's what I was asking about.
Yeah. And the only stuff is that we're limited as far as like to be a first sergeant. I believe there's only two positions in the JAG Corps to be a first sergeant. And then if you're a sergeant major, there's, you know, if you want to be a command sergeant major, there's only, I believe, two positions as well, at the schoolhouse and the regimental sergeant major. But you can also, if you're a sergeant major, you can always branch out and then to be a command sergeant major.
So there are opportunities beyond just working in the JAG office, which is, again, very similar to us as well. I'm going to put you on the spot, Valencia. You're leaving us. I don't know if you're leaving before Sergeant Rod is leaving. You're leaving first.
I'm leaving first.
Yeah. And do you have a backfill? I'm sorry, Valencia, we'll get back to you. But do you have a backfill identified?
No, sir. So actually, I'll be leaving. Sergeant Demai will be leaving. And then
that's right,
hopefully Valencia. But oh, it sounds like we have only one backfill coming in. But it's an AIT trooper. He's fresh. I think he just graduated AIT like last week. But he will be going to on parental leave as soon as he comes back. So he'll be gone for like 3 months after Pegasus.
3 months, so he's going to take the full paternity leave, like all up front. He's not going to break it up.
Yeah, I think that's the plan right now, sir.
Okay, well, that's an issue between he and Captain Loran and Major Dimkoff that they can work out, I guess. Okay, that's right. I totally forgot that you guys are getting gutted as a team. Like, all of you guys are leaving to go off and do great things for the Army. But Valencia, you went through an assessment recently to go to a very unique organization, and you were successful, which is great. That's awesome. I know that there's some things that you can't discuss. You probably had to sign a couple NDAs before you left. So, yes, but did you get an idea of what the mission is for a judge advocate for the judge advocate or for the paralegals that are there now? And maybe what are some differences that you observed that you can talk about?
So I didn't get to see a whole lot, sir. I didn't get to like really integrate with them. They checked on me a few times and they let me know like what their op tempo is. And then for me, it will be a pretty big shift because I probably won't be doing military justice. I'll still be a battalion paralegal, but it just won't be, especially being from 3-star, it won't be how it is here. We have just a bunch of misconduct. It's more so like doing notary services or like NSL law, stuff like that. It won't be, which is good for me, actually. I think it'll be a little bit of a break, but it's not the conventional Army. So I'm really excited. I like saw like a post on Instagram or something that talked about a shark. Like if you put a shark in like a fish bowl, it'll only grow 8 inches or so. But if you throw the shark in the ocean, it's going to grow 8 feet plus. I kind of look at it like,
you're the
shark. I'm not going to call myself a shark, but
No.
I think it's okay. Like that's maybe the conventional Army is like a fish bowl. Okay. And like this new assignment is like the ocean. So it'll give me a chance to grow. It'll just opened a bunch of new opportunities for me to learn way more and just become a better paralegal.
Yeah, and really the reason that I bring you up is because as we get kind of close to wrapping up our time, I want all of you to be able to say with confidence, not because I'm asking you, but to say legitimately, what is the incentive for someone to be a paralegal here in 3CR? And one of the reasons is because it can be a platform to go off and do other things, perhaps more interesting or just different at the very least. It's where you're going is different. What would you say to someone, a prospective paralegal who's on the fence about maybe coming to ForceCom, but even more specifically coming to 3CR? After everything that you've discovered about the culture here and all the experiences that you've had, all the cases, the paperwork that you have seen here, which in some ways can be exceptional, how would you still motivate someone to come here?
When I first got here, sir, I remember everyone telling me, right, like all the NCOs telling me, you're going to be a better paralegal than someone that went somewhere else. Like somebody that went to Germany or Korea or anywhere else that wasn't 3CR, they told me, like, the op tempo here is so high, you're going to have so many cases, you're going to rinse and repeat, that you're going to just be a much better paralegal than anyone else who doesn't have your workload, who is not going to get that experience where they have, like, on their tracker, they have two actions, but you're going to be getting, like, 10 a week.
That is a positive way to look at a very negative situation. Is to see it through the lens of your professional development and just build getting reps in. I hate to say it, especially with people's lives, but that's what you're doing, is basically getting reps in for your profession. So that's a good motivator to come out here. Any other thoughts?
So you will get really, like, yeah, especially as Valencia said, you will get really proficient. You're going to get good at time management with the so many like actions you have coming in. There's so many like hours in the day. You're gonna have to learn how to like manage your time and all these actions. But I think for me, personally, it's like giving back to the Army. Like realizing that, looking at the bigger picture, you're doing something for the well-being of the Army. You're making a difference. It might be like one person at a time, but if you like zoom out and look at the bigger picture, there's so many people that we process for separations or for Article 15s, and Article 15s can be frowned upon, but if you look at it again, like the bigger picture, it's a rehabilitation tool. So in reality, you're using it like to rehabilitate a trooper, and then, you know, who knows, they might turn around, learn from their mistake, and hey, they're a better trooper out of it. I feel like there's processes for everything, but I think ultimately everything we do is for the better of the organization.
What you action is life-changing, but not necessarily life-ending. Because even if you, at the end of the day, get kicked out of the Army, it's not the end of your life.
Yeah, it's not the end.
So, well, any other thoughts in terms of what you would say to someone who would be on the fence about coming here, who really has a desire to serve in the same capacity that you all have served in, but they're maybe a little trepidatious about coming to 3CR? What would you talk with regards to the culture? Because all of you have kind of embraced the culture at different points in time. How would you maybe highlight the culture itself as an incentive to come here?
Well, maybe for me, I would like to concur with Specialist Valencia as well, because my first assignment was a MI unit, which was it was quiet most of the time. I came here and a bunch of actions, a lot of stuff to do, a lot of work, but I am thankful for that because I'm learning so much. And now I feel like I'm actually proficient in my job, that if I go somewhere else, I'll be able to handle anything. And I came here and I was able to support more actions, even court martials. So I'm thankful for that. And also, like you said, sir, like the culture, you embrace that. And now I am proud as well to be in 3CR. And I like how, like, every time, like, we take a picture or everything, or even, like, not a group picture, I'm just me and maybe my wife, and I'm just doing my three everywhere I go, so.
Nice. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, it warms my heart to hear you all talk as you have about 3CR. So unless you guys have any other closing thoughts, it's been great to have you all on the show. Specialist Valencia, Specialist Vera, Sergeant Rodriguez. Did I call you Specialist? You're a Sergeant.
I got the motor.
Sergeant Vera, Sergeant Rodriguez, Sergeant Tamai, thank you all for joining the show. Continue to do awesome legal work and uplift, but also crush the souls of 3CR troopers through your legal actions that you perform every day. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Brave Rifles.
Brave Rifles, veterans. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in today. And just a great, great group of individuals working here at 3CR. And if you need to talk to them, they are in the regimental headquarters, Albee Hall, right across from S1. So if you liked what you heard, leave some remarks. On our next episode, we will have the Honorary Command Sergeant Major of 3rd Cavalry Regiment joining us. Command Sergeant Major retired Dennis Webster. Should be a great show. Really looking forward to sitting down with him. Hope you get to tune in. Otherwise, have a great week, and we will talk again. Aiyah!